All right, everyone, this is Todd. You're listening to the 206 Geek, and I am the 206 Geek. Today is episode... What is today's episode? Today is episode 35. I had to think about it for a second there. And so there's a few things to talk about. And I'm trying to get myself logged into my... Oh, come on. Of course. Let's do this. That's better, I think. So, well, biggest thing I think I saw in online recently is that the Batman finally has a release date, and Ben Affleck is no longer going to be the Bat. Which, you know, I think a lot of people will be happy about. I, for one, am not one of those people. I actually really liked his Batman and Bruce Wayne. I'm kind of sad that he's not going to be doing it again. And, well, you know, hey, we have three movies with him as Batman and Bruce Wayne, so if nothing else, I can watch those, you know. Can't, you know, too many people are, like, getting all bent out of shape and butthurt over fictional characters
Okay, they're talking about fictional characters. Fictional characters. Am I getting through to you at all?
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it's you know, people getting really, like, bent out of shape over things they have no control over. You know, things that they admire, things that they love, but they're not going the way they want, so they kind of have a meltdown. You know, along those lines is the announcement that Ghostbusters 3 is finally coming. Ivan Reitman's son is going to be directing the third movie. The movie that we should have had 20 years ago. This is going to be in the original continuity with the original cast, minus, of course, Harold Ramis, because he's passed away. And, you know, there's a couple different groups of people here the big one people complaining are the ones who loved Answer the Call. You know what? And I like Answer the Call, don't get me wrong. I don't hate it like a lot of people do. I was not concerned with whether or not it was women playing Ghostbusters. I didn't care about that. I was concerned that the movie was going to be a parody of the original, one that was going to poke fun in a not so kind way to the original. And you know what? It had lots of cool Easter eggs for the fans who like the original. I didn't think they were insulting. I think there's a lot of people who hated the movie. And they picked it apart because, you know, it wasn't... You know what? And they say that it wasn't as good as the original. And you know what? I think it was... I think it could have been better, yes. I don't think it was... I don't think... I don't think it's worse than... I think it's... Well, okay, it's not great, but it's also not, you know, worse than, I don't think, than the original. I think it's different. I think that it's good in its own way. Like I said, there's only a couple things that I did not like about the movie, and I think maybe it's because I identified with those characters a little bit too much, and that's why I don't like them. Like, Chris Hemsworth's character Kevin, really stupid guy. Like he's supposed to be like the male equivalent of a dumb blonde receptionist, and that's exactly what he did. He is a dumb blonde receptionist, but he's a man. That's, and you know what? And women have been dealing with that representation of them in movies for decades. So they have one movie where a guy does the same thing. They thought it was fucking hilarious. I've talked to a couple women who thought that his part was hilarious. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. Where that? You know? Oh, that's probably my mic. Okay, stop. What? No, that's not my mic. That is not my mic. That is something else entirely. Let me unplug that. There we go. Sorry about that. I had something else plugged in, and I thought it was this. It wasn't going to be making any noise, and it did. I'll probably just cut that out. Anyways, what I was just saying. Oh yes, yeah. So the character Kevin was kind of dumb. Turn this up. There we go. And yeah. So I know of a couple women who thought his part in the movie was hilarious. So, okay, that character was designed for that purpose, I think. And the bad guy, Rowan, or whatever his name was. And I really think the movie... They turned the movie into kind of a political thing about, you know... They basically were reacting to all the hate. Which, you know, in some instances I can understand why. Because there was a lot of hate because they were women. Because the characters were women and not... It wasn't going to be the sequel we've all been waiting for decades. You know, so, in response to all the hate they got, they made the bad guy a representation of those angry fans. So the bad guy ended up being this basement troll, neck-bearded nerd guy who's mad at the world because everyone treats him like he is lesser than, even though he is 10 times smarter than they are, kind of thing. You know, effectively turning the type of nerd who reacts violently to any kind of criticism, turns that person into a bad guy in a movie. I don't think they should have done that. Honestly, I think they should have taken the higher road and not reacted to those nerds. I think. And that's easier said than done. I can't even imagine the kind of hate they got, you know. But I think that the movie would have been better had they not decided to make that stereotype of the angry nerd, the basement troll, the neckbeard, the pissed off fanboy, and made him the bad guy. You know, I still like the movie. It's just those two things. Rowan really irritated me because he's a mediocre at most. At best, he's a mediocre bad guy. He was really, really just a fictionalized version of all the shitty fanboys who decided it was a good idea to threaten the cast and the people who talked shit because it was a female cast and all this other stuff, and the story was garbage, and someone, I remember someone saying that the movie was majorly like improv and it was not good improv. I don't know, there was a lot of jokes that were really funny. There was also a fair amount of jokes that were really fucking stupid, and there was a reason why those jokes did not make it to the theatrical release. And then they put it in the extended cut of the movie, which is the video I purchased, thinking that maybe we would get more to the movie that would, you know, would make it better. It didn't really make the movie better. It made the movie longer. and it certainly didn't make it better. But the announcement for the new Ghostbusters, at this point they're calling it Ghostbusters 2020. Because that's when the movie's coming out, in 2020, in like summer of 2020. And they've already had a teaser trailer, you know, and I thought, wow, okay. The teaser trailer is, in the video you see a barn off in the distance and kind of surrounded by woods, and you hear like someone tinkering. Kind of like tools being smacked around, and then you hear like equipment charging up and turning on and shutting down kind of sounds, and it sounds like a proton pack. That's like they're trying to get a proton pack started up. And then as the camera's coming into this closer to this barn, you see something underneath a tarp. And then as the camera comes through the door, the tarp kind of gets blown, and you see that underneath the tarp is Ecto-1. The original Ecto-1, not Ecto-1A, not the one from the sequel, the original one. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is cool. And they announced that the idea of this movie is what they've been pitching for fucking ever, and what they used for the video game that came out in, I think it was 2009, 2010, where it's kind of a passing of the torch. And that's what we really wanted to see. As ghost heads and fans of the Ghostbusters universe, that's what we wanted to see. That's what we've been waiting to see. We kind of got that with Extreme Ghostbusters, the cartoon from the 90s. I think it only had one season. And I remember that being on TV, but thinking, no, I don't want to watch it. I like the original cartoon. This is not going to be any good. I thought it looked, from the commercials I saw in the 90s, it looked dumb. I've since then have watched the entire series and really dug the show. I loved the concept of Egon being a professor at the local college in New York. I don't know if it was like NYU or what, but he was teaching a class on paranormal stuff. Paranormal studies, I think it was. And the five students that he had end up becoming the next generation of Ghostbusters. And I'm, okay, yes, Harold Ramis, the actor who played Egon in the movies, has passed away in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. Like, right before the last movie came out. So, like, 4 or 5 years ago. So, we really can't have Egon. Although, I really think, as long as it's cool with Harold's family, I think they should get Maurice LaMarche, the gentleman who voiced Egon in both Real Ghostbusters and Extreme Ghostbusters. I think he should do the voice of a ghost of Egon. Like, Egon has passed away and is coming, and he's helping these kids fix this old gear that they've acquired somehow. That's kind of how I want to see it happen. I would love to see Egon having a part in this movie. They probably won't do that. Honestly, they'll probably have it in the story that Egon has passed away, and that maybe the gear that these kids have were, because Egon has passed and everybody has gone their separate ways, Egon probably had all the gear, and when he passed, it was like sold off in a like an estate sale or something, and these kids bought it and decided, you know what, we need the Ghostbusters, we're gonna be the Ghostbusters. And I'm pulling this right out of my ass. I hadn't even thought about it until I started talking about it. So that's kind of what I think this movie is gonna be. What I do know is they have said that at least this is what people have gathered from watching that teaser, is that somebody new has gotten their hands on the old Ghostbusters gear and are trying to get it to work. I mean, other people have said, well, you know, it's supposed to take place in the same universe as the original two movies, just in 2019, 2020, whatever. And so it's been 30 years since the original movie, since 1984, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited to see this movie. I'm hopeful that the movie we're going to get will get all the fans to stop complaining and bitching and whining and moaning. However, I should know better, because you would think when they bring us new content for things that we enjoy, people would like it. But no. It's because the average geek, nerd, whatever, feels entitled to their fandom. They think that their fandom should not be changed. The fandom should not evolve. And that, you know, when they make changes to the fandoms that they enjoy, that it's ruining their childhood and stuff like that. And I honestly, I've had those moments where I hated on something so much that I thought it ruined my childhood. But when, I don't know if I've ever honestly said that, you know, this is ruining my fucking childhood. You know, I think I have thought that, oh, this is not as good as I hoped it to be. I said that about the Michael Bay Transformers movie from 2007. And all those sequels that came after that. I was like, okay, this is, they're getting progressively better. They're still not great. They're too different from the Transformers I grew up with. So I didn't care for that part of it. And I've heard people say the same thing about Star Trek. When J.J. started making the reboot movies with the new cast, I knew a guy who was briefly on the podcast back in, I think, 2015. At that point, I had three hosts on the show. It was me and two other guys. I'm not going to say their names because, you know what, they're no longer part of my life and I don't really need to talk about them other than I'm mentioning them in this story. I just don't need to give them any attention. This person completely lost his shit over the new Abrams Star Trek movie, because in that movie, they destroy the home planet for Vulcan. I think Vulcan's the name of the planet. And just like they destroyed Vulcan in the Prime Universe, oh my god, blah blah blah. He's like, you know what? We're so what? It's a story. It's fiction. You know, it's the original cast are in their 80s. They're not making any new movies. You know, and people like those characters, so they wanted to reboot that series, give us a new cast of Kirk, Spock, and Uhura, and Scotty, and Bones, and whoever else, and they're probably going to do the same thing with the Picard series. They're going to change things up on that. Fans are going to lose their mind on that shit, too. You know, and if it really comes down to it, you can go back and watch the older shows. Rewatch those shows. Reintroduce yourself to the shows and remind yourself as to why you liked that show. That's kind of how I feel about it. And speaking of rewatching shows, that's actually kind of what spawned me talking about this, other than the fact that there's a new Ghostbusters movie, and over the past couple years, even the past few months even, I've been hearing people whine and bitch and complain about their fandoms and how, you know, Hollywood is completely screwing those up and da 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 and whatever else. You know.
Blah blah blah.
I don't say blah blah blah.
Actually, I didn't say blah blah blah. I said da da da. But whatever, you know. And so yeah, I don't know. I think that there's plenty of things out there for people to enjoy. You don't have to like the new ones, but you know it wouldn't suck if you liked it, you know, really. I mean, it's different. It's not, it doesn't make it worse, you know. Well, maybe it does for you, but you know that other people probably enjoy it. So that's who it's for. If you don't enjoy it, it's clearly not for you. It's not designed to entertain you if you don't like it. You know, and you know, I think a lot of times people can hold on to the past and not want to let go because that's where they fell in love with that thing, or that's when they were introduced to that thing in a hard time in their life, and that thing became important to them. You know, you still have those older versions of those things. You don't necessarily need to worry about the new ones. You know, because the new ones will probably be cool if you're open to enjoying them, is what they are, entertainment. You know, it's not like someone's going in and rewriting your personal history. We're talking about fictional characters here. You know, so, what I was getting at was talking about like rewatching old shows. Is I discovered that the show Eureka from the Sci-Fi Channel, or SYFY, as I like to call it, SYFY, is on Amazon Prime. And I said, you know what? I haven't watched that show in forever. There's like 5 seasons. It's a great show. I was really, really angry. Talking about angry fanboys. I was angry that they canceled the show. Because it was a great show. It didn't need to stop. And the reason why they stopped the show was because it was expensive and they wanted to do other shows. So that's why, I saw that it was on Amazon Prime. I was like, I'm going to rewatch it. I'm going to rewatch the show. I remember it being pretty awesome. I don't remember everything about it, but I remember the show was really entertaining and I liked it. I liked it enough that it upset me dearly when it got canceled. So I can go back and rewatch it and still enjoy it. May not get new episodes. I may not get a new version of it. Might sometime. You know, the show's what? At this point, it came out in, I think, 2008, 2009. So it's 10 years old. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think people just need to realize that entertainment is just that. It's entertainment. It's not something you need to get this worked up over because it didn't come out the way you liked or you thought it could have been better. If you think you can do better, if you think you could do better, maybe that's what you should do. You should, you know, create your vision of what you'd like to see. You know, do a fan film. You know, work hard and be part of that industry and actually create a script and a thing for that show or that movie that you like that you want to see do better. Become that. Do that. Don't whine about someone not doing it the way you would have done it. Do it yourself. You know? I don't know. Like I said, I've had my moments where I was upset that, you know, my favorite thing was no longer a thing. It's happened a number of times. But you know what? I still enjoy watching the originals or the older ones or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah. The next thing I need to do is I need to find out if Warehouse 13 is on Amazon Prime, because that was also a great show, and that was kind of a spinoff of I'm pretty sure it was a spinoff of Eureka, and both shows were pretty awesome. Let's see here, what's this? Oh my goodness! All right, so I'm looking at my Feedly list, and I'm pulling up some stories here. Got a story about Gotham, the TV show Gotham. Gotham's Shane West teases deformed steampunk version of Bane. Okay, well, like, you know, if you would, I'm hoping that this will be good. I'm hoping this will be better than the Bane that was in the movie with Christian Bale and all those guys. I did not like that Bane at all. But you know what? If I really want to see a Bane that I enjoy, I'll watch the first 2 seasons of Young Justice or watch the older. I think it was one of the Joel Schumacher Batman movies that has Bane in it. And I don't know, I'm looking at photos of this Bane, and he basically looks, the mask he's wearing looks like a, it looks like someone took and modified a sleep apnea mask, a breathing mask for someone who has sleep apnea. It also could be like a rebreather for like scuba diving or something too. It has lights on it, it's plastic. So, I don't know. We'll see. I just hope he doesn't have that stupid accent. Hello, Batman. That's a terrible accent or impression. Let me try that again. Let's see here. Oh, yes, Batman. See, it's still not better. That sucks. I suck at doing it because I think that voice sucks. I don't like it. To me, he sounded like Sean Connery. You know, without the severe, like, esh. Whenever he would say esh, it was always with I'd say anything with an S sound to it, and it would always sound like an SH sound, is what I'm getting at. So, let's see what this says here about this new version of Bane that's coming to Gotham. Shane West finally makes his long-awaited debut on Gotham this week, where he plays Eduardo Dorrance, an ex-military leader of a strike team sent to the city to help Jim Gordon. Of course, we all know that Dorrance is much more than that, as it's been confirmed that West's character will go on to become the infamous Batman villain, Bane. Okay, cool. While the actual Bane character won't be arriving for another couple of episodes, the first look at Gotham's version of the villain surfaced last year while the season was in production. To say it was met with mixed reactions would be an understatement. However, West is convinced that Gotham fans will absolutely love Bane when he finally dons the mask. I don't know. I think this is going to be one of those situations where I should hold back any initial thoughts on the character based on his look. I want to see him. Not just the look, I want to see him act the part. I want to see how he presents the character. And not just the way he talks, and not just the way he looks. I want to see how he plays the part, and hopefully the backstory is better than the other one. So we'll see. This is on comicbook.com. I'll go ahead and share this story so you guys can check it out for yourself. Just all you got to do is go to the Facebook page. Go into facebook.com/206geek and you can see this story for yourself. It's also going to be shared onto Twitter as well. So if you don't do Facebook but you're on Twitter, just look for me at 206geek and then you'll see the story there. All right, so what else do we got here? Go back to the... You know what? I'm going to look on my Facebook feed for the page and go back and look at some of the things I've been sharing, because I know there's a few things that I would probably want to talk about. You know what? I will mention this. If you like the podcast, you enjoy what I do here, consider supporting the podcast by visiting... the shop. I have a TeePublic shop. You can go to shop.206geek.com, or you can click the pinned post on the Facebook page and buy a shirt. Anything on there I get a little bit of whatever it is they from the sale. I think it's for a $20 shirt, I get like $4 or $5. So if I get enough people to do that, then it will help support the podcast. So go to shop.206geek.com and check out all the designs there. The first two or three at the top are the ones that I've created, and all the ones underneath it are the ones that I thought looked cool and I wanted to share with you guys. And I believe I also get a commission on the sales of other artists' designs as well. There's actually a few shirts on that site that I myself want to get, so I'm probably going to get those when I have a little bit of money. Let's see here. A lot of memes I've been posting lately. I should talk about this. In Seattle, if you're not in the Seattle area, there is a roadway, the Alaska Way Viaduct, and it recently closed. It's the Alaska Way Viaduct is where they filmed portions of the Sylvester Stallone movie Assassins. In that movie, if you watch that movie, there's a scene where there's like a car chase sequence and it's supposed to be in Chicago. That was actually filmed on the Alaska Way Viaduct. I know this because I watched them film it. It was cool. First time I ever saw like a movie production doing their thing. It was really cool. But they recently closed the Alaska Way Viaduct, and they're opening a new tunnel. A tunnel that goes from downtown Seattle all the way to the Kingdome. Excuse me, not the Kingdome. That's no longer around. Why did I say the Kingdome? What I meant to say was all the way over to the Space Needle, because that's another thing that's been around Seattle for fucking ever. Maybe that's why I was thinking Kingdome, because the Kingdome was around since I was a little kid, and it disappeared in like the late 90s, I think. They destroyed it. Anyways, so yeah, the King 5, one of the local stations here in Seattle, wanted people to come up with a name for the tunnel. You know, so they want to know what we should call the new tunnel. And I said Seattle's urethra. I thought that was funny. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Of course, I think I was the only one that laughed at that joke when I posted it. So got no responses from that one. Let's see. And this coming this summer, in Puyallup, Washington, where the Washington State Fair happens every year. This summer, they renamed the convention. It was something. It was like toy, and it was like Geek and Toy Fair or something before. But now it's called the Washington State Summer Con. And I'm thinking I'm going to go to it this year, and I'm going to go with my cousin Marianne, and I think I'm going to have her come on the podcast and nerd out with me, because this convention is going to be really cool. Last year, they had the guys from Comic Book Man there. So, minus Walt. You know, if you like the show Comic Book Man on AMC, I think they still have episodes playing. I think you can find that on Amazon Prime, to be honest. Comic Book Man, if you're not familiar, and you probably are, but if you're not, it's a reality show about Kevin Smith's comic book shop in Red Bank, New Jersey. And it's the guys who work there. And it's a kind of a famous comic book shop. So people will a lot of times come into the comic shop. And, you know, they have famous people come into the shop. They've had, like, Lou Ferrigno. They've had Billy Dee Williams. They've had Adam West. Some really cool people. Anyways, on the show, it's Walt Flanagan, Meng Chen, Brian Johnson, and Mike Zapsik. Those are the guys who are on the show every week. Of those guys, Meng, Mike, and Brian, they're all coming to SummerCon, at the Washington State SummerCon. And not only them, but Jason Mewes. Now, you got to know, I'm sure you guys know who Jason Mewes is, but just in case, there's somebody new listening to the podcast, and they're like, who the fuck is Jason Mewes? Jason Mewes, probably better known by his character Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, movie Clerks, Clerks 2, Chasing Amy, Mallrats. They're doing a new Jay and Silent Bob movie. They're filming it now, I think. So we're gonna see a 40-something-year-old Jay and Silent Bob. Actually, Silent Bob, played by Kevin Smith, is closer to 50 than 40, but still. But Jason Mewes is going to be at Washington State SummerCon. I really want to go to this because, if nothing else, I want to meet Jason, whatever. Whichever he goes by, honestly. And it would be cool to see Brian Johnson and Meng Chen and Mike Zapsik. Those guys, I like watching that show too. That show was basically like a reality show version of Clerks. It was cool. I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I look forward to watching it, actually. I would, before I had a DVR, I would stay up and watch The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, and then I'd stay up just a little bit longer to watch Comic Book Man. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to going because I really want to meet those guys. It should be a great, great show. A great convention, even. Let's see here. Who else is going to be there this year? I know they've already had a few announcements for guests. And, you know what? Let me see if I can find the most recent one. It was posted yesterday. This is what it says here. Hello. Hello. What have we here? A smuggler, gambler, general in the Rebel Alliance, and an icon in the Star Wars universe. We are proud to welcome a cultural icon and a legend, Mr. Billy D. Williams, to the Washington State Summer Con. June 15th and 16th in Puyallup, Washington, Star Wars fans instantly recognized the man behind the Lando Calrissian in 1980. He made his first appearance in The Empire Strikes Back and then continued in his leading role in Return of the Jedi. Since then, Lando and Billy Dee have appeared in many subsequent Star Wars properties, including video games, Star Wars Rebels, and Lego Star Wars. In December, Billy Dee will return to the Star Wars universe as Lando Calrissian in Star Wars Episode 9. That's cool. I did not know that. That's amazing. Oh my God. I cannot wait to see this Episode 9. And then it goes on to say here, his overwhelming popularity and powerful performance opposite Diana Ross in the films Mahogany and the Lady Sings the Blues led many women flocking to see his character, Lando Calrissian, in George Lucas' space fantasy. Billy Dee's film career has included films Undercover Brother, Nighthawks, Bingo Long, and Brian's Song. Plus, no one will forget his smooth voice and cool attitude as the official spokesman in the commercials for Colt 45 malt liquor. It works every time. Wow, that's cool. I'm definitely excited to see Billy Dee Williams. That's awesome. Oh my God. You know what? I think he was at Emerald City one of the last years I went to Emerald City Comic Con. So it's cool to see that that he's coming to this new convention in Puyallup. I'm looking forward to it. I think I definitely need to get myself a ticket and go. I actually looked at the website to look at ticket costs, and let me pull it up real quick and I'll tell you what they are. I remember looking at the they have a 2-day adult VIP admission ticket, which is got lots of great things, but the price was way out of my price range. See here, the tickets for SummerCon. Here we go. Adult for Saturday is $29. For the 2-day pass, it's $55. For Sunday, it's $29. So $55 for the whole weekend, $30 for 1 day, and for children, it's $15 both days. So that's not bad. And then the VIP ticket. So this is what is included with the VIP package. 2-day pass to the Washington State Summer Con. Early bird admission at 9:30 a.m. for Saturday and Sunday. First access to purchase upcoming limited celebrity opportunities. Early online access to online photo and autograph sales before they're released to the public. Exclusive VIP entrance, access to the VIP, and invited guest lounge, early VIP access to seating and selected panels and programming, And then we have official SummerCon lanyard and badge. SummerCon logo t-shirt. Access to VIP autograph fast pass lane. Access to VIP photo op fast pass lane. You get two comic artist fast passes. One exclusive show print. VIP bag and goodies. Priority access to purchase 2020 VIP premium packages. All of that, and let's see, I'll tell you what the exact pricing is for the VIP admission. Tickets are now $220. That's for one person for both days. If I could afford to throw down $220 for a VIP package, I would totally do it because I would want to be able to talk to some of the guests on the podcast. That would be amazing. I can't afford that, though. So, as far as the other guests, let me go to the guest list on the website here. Let's see. Oh, this is cool. All right, so I mentioned Billy Dee Williams is going to be there. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed himself, is going to be there. Tamura Morrison, also known as Jango Fett, he's going to be there. That's cool. I would like to see him. Let me take a look real quick. I think he was in Aquaman, but I'm not entirely sure. Let's see here. Pull up his IMDb, and I can. Yes. Oh my God, it was him. Okay, I thought so. I wasn't entirely sure. I thought he looked like it might have been him. But this man also played Arthur Curry's father. He played Tom Curry. So that's cool. I would like to meet him, too. I really enjoyed that movie. And, you know, Jango Fett's kind of cool. And, of course, I already mentioned Jason Mewes. Christian Nairn. I believe that is Hodor from Game of Thrones. And then we got John Ratzenberger and George Wendt. That's cool that these guys are. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's cool that they're going to be there. There might be some fans of Cheers, right? Cheers was a cool show. They've done other things since then that have, you know, kept them in the spotlight, I guess. But you know, yeah, it would be cool to see them. And then, who's this? I don't know who this person is by looking at them. But I'm sure she's a cool person and she's probably done some really neat things. I just don't know her by name. Okay, so Lucy Pohl, P-O-H-L. I think that's how it's pronounced. I hope it is. I'm sorry if it's not. Lucy is a German-American television and film actor who is the voice of Mercy from Blizzard's Overwatch. Her character, Mercy, is a popular nanobiologist and a field medic who always stays at the front line of wars in blah 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 blah. Oh, she was on Red Dwarf season 11. I need to go back and rewatch that. She's also been on Homeland and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Let's see. That's really cool. Okay. I didn't know who she was. But she's got some cool credits here. She was also the voice of Rixa Fluxflam from World of Warcraft Battle of Azeroth. And various voices on Hearthstone and Red Dwarf. Red Dead Redemption 2, not Red Dwarf. Red Dead Redemption 2. Yes. Awesome, Todd. Stumbling over words. Then I already mentioned that Ming Chen, Mike Zapsik, Brian Johnson are going to be there as well. And then we got the comic book artists, comic book guests. We have Jim Steranko, Roy Thomas, Chris Claremont, Jim Shooter, Dave Finch, Charles Soule, Amanda Connor, Scott Williams, Jimmy Palmoide. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing any of these names. Sean Murphy, Jay Lee, Mike Henderson, Arthur Sudam, Tom Cook. I've met Tom. He's a really cool guy. He's an animator and an artist, and he's worked on pretty much all the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Really cool dude. And then the last person on the list, Phil Ortiz. It looks like he's done some Simpsons. Right on. And then other... Timothy Zahn, who apparently he looks like he's done some of the Star Wars books. So that's cool. I'll go ahead and share this list of names. So if you want to check out who those comic book artists are, what they've done, you can click on their face and they'll give you, you know, information about each person. I wasn't going to go through and read each profile because, you know, I gotta give the listener something to look forward to, right? All right, can't wait to see this show. All right, what else? What else have we got? All right. I can back up. I scroll down a little bit. Ooh, I posted this. What was this? This was posted yesterday. Comicbook.com has posted that Batman Beyond animated movie reportedly in the works. I don't know. I was a latecomer to that show as well, and when it was initially on the air, I didn't watch it because it was like, okay, no, if it's not Bruce Wayne as Batman, I don't care. I'm not interested. But when I did end up finally watching it, when it was like in reruns and stuff, I was like, oh, this is actually a good show. And then, of course, I don't know if I watched the entire series or if I just saw a few episodes and thought it was pretty good, but I did end up watching the entire series at some point, I think on Netflix or something. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This needs to be a thing. This needs to be a show. Let's see. And this is what it says here. It says, after the success of Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, it appears that other companies are wanting to follow suit with unique animated takes on classic properties. DC Comics and Warner Brothers might be the next in line. Going back to the fan-favorite franchise Batman Beyond, according to a new report from Geeks Worldwide, Warner Animation Group is set to begin work on Batman Beyond film, targeting a 2022 release date. And it says here, somebody had posted on Reddit. That's what it is. Somebody posted a leaked photo of some characters concepts from this movie on Reddit. And one of the characters looks like he's wearing a Batman Beyond style shirt. I don't know who the other person is. Maybe one is Bruce in street clothes and one's Bruce without the cowl on. I don't know. And this is what it says underneath that photo. There is no information at this time, but it looks like pre-production on some potential on the potential film is already underway. Concept art for Mysterious Project was recently posted on the DCEU Leaks subreddit, showing a new take on the title character of Terry McGinnis. Okay, and that was Terry. Okay, cool. All right. I said Bruce Wayne before, didn't I? No, I meant Terry McGinnis, because Bruce Wayne in Batman Beyond is like 85 years old. Another photo appears to show a display in the Batcave, featuring costumes for Robin, Batgirl, Nightwing, and the original Batman. Fans have been clamoring for Batman Beyond movie for some time, including geek filmmaker Kevin Smith. The director made waves when he recently suggested a live-action version with Michael Keaton returning to reprise the role. I'm totally down. I remember him talking about that. I think he talked about it on... it had to have been one of the two podcasts I listened to. It was either Fat Man Beyond, which is used to be called Fat Man on Batman. And the other podcast I listened to that is his is Hollywood Babylon. Babylon. And I think he actually mentioned them both. He mentioned that he would like to see them do a Batman Beyond movie where Michael Keaton plays Bruce Wayne. He's you know, he's not 85, mind you, but he's grayer, and you know, he's definitely older than he was back in 1989. So, but yeah, and it says here, could you imagine? Oh my God, that movie makes $1 billion right there, man. Smith said on his Fat Man on Batman podcast, if you're like Michael Keaton's coming back, people like, how is that possible? And you're like, because he's Batman Beyond, bitch. And people are, oh fuck, we wanted this our whole lives. This is fucking good, and I'm down with this. When can we go? ? And you know what? I agree. 110% on that one. And then the last thing it says here is Warner Brothers has yet to officially announce the rumored Batman Beyond project, but hopefully fan response to these leaks gets them to make a move sooner than later. Again, I agree. I would love to see a live action, even if it's an animated one. I would like to see a Batman Beyond movie. Batman Beyond did make cameo appearances on two other shows. He made an appearance on Justice League, I think, and Static Shock, both of which, if you're not familiar, are available on the DC Universe. You can watch them, both of those shows, on the DC Universe, as well as the Batman and AMA series, and I think Batman Beyond is on there too. But at the very least, I know for a fact that Justice League is on there, Batman Animated Series, and Static Shock are all there. I'm not entirely positive on Batman Beyond being on there, but it should be if it's not. All right. And so I already shared this story to Facebook, so I'm not going to repost it because I only posted it yesterday. And like I said earlier, they've announced that Ben Affleck is no longer going to be the Bat, which I'm sad. Sad panda. I don't know. Comicbook.com actually posted a 10 actors who could replace Ben Affleck. And I looked over these people, and some of them I know who they are, and others I'm like, I don't know who this is, but I think he could pull it off because he kind of looks like he could be Bruce Wayne. And if you look like Bruce Wayne, you could probably do Batman, because, you know. But let me get the list of people here. And the number one on the list is Armie Hammer. And you know what? I could, if he had like black hair, I could possibly see him being, you know, Bruce Wayne. And if he could pull off being Bruce Wayne, he could probably also do Batman. And if you don't know who Armie Hammer is, he's the one who played the title role in The Lone Ranger alongside Johnny Depp's Tonto. That movie was god awful. I don't think it was his fault though. that movie, as bad as that movie was, it wasn't Armie Hammer's fault. And what I'd like to know is if Armie Hammer's a stage name, because I'm hoping it is, because that's a silly name. I'm sorry. All right. So the next person on the list, and I don't know who this guy is, but I can, you know, I can potentially see him being Bruce. Or maybe, you know what? Because let me just tell you the guy's name, and if you know who he is, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. His name is Riz Ahmed. And I don't know who this guy is. He's probably a good actor, but I don't think of a gentleman with Middle Eastern facial features as Batman, unless they're doing the Gods and Monsters version of the Batman, which is not Bruce Wayne. It's somebody else entirely. I could see him doing that version of Batman, because that guy, his I don't know what his nationality was, because he was kind of undead, so he was pale white anyways. But he had similar facial structure as far as the cheeks and whatnot. It says here, let's see, this is what it says here about Mr. Ahmed. It says, if you haven't figured it out by now, Riz Ahmed is one of the most talented young actors working in Hollywood today, period. Ahmed has stolen scenes on the big screen with roles in Nightcrawler and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. On the TV side of the world, the actor has been nominated for Emmys already, taking home the prize for his captivating performance in HBO's The Night Of. That role alone is enough to make me hand him the leading part to pretty much any major franchise. Okay. I vaguely remember him in, I need to go back and watch Rogue One again, because he does not look familiar to me. Sorry. Was he the guy that brought the information to, okay, maybe I do know who he is. Okay. Hold on a second here. I'm going to try something. One of the things I'm going to change topics briefly. When I like going to these websites that have all this information, but the problem I have with these websites is the sheer amount of advertisements on it. When you have so much advertising on there, sometimes, for me anyway, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I mistake an advert for the next line in whatever it is I'm reading. So I'm trying to carefully read through this and not like start reading off a fucking advertisement. Army Hammer, Ahmed. Okay, the next guy on the list is, oh, come on. All right, here we go. How do you say this guy's name? Oh, come on. Stop that. Do you ever have where you're trying to highlight something and instead of highlighting the word you want, it fucking highlights every goddamn thing? All right. Hold on a second. I apologize. I'm trying to pull up this page and okay. Here we go. Maybe I can find out how to say this guy's name. Dacre, Dacre Montgomery. I can say his last name. His last name is easy. Pull up the Wikipedia page for this guy. Oh, he's Australian. Okay. Maybe. Okay. I was hoping that I was hoping that the Wikipedia page for this guy would tell you how to pronounce his name properly. I don't fucking know. Either way, this is what it says here on Wikipedia, is an Australian actor known for his portrayal of Jason Lee Scott in Power Rangers and Billy Hargrove in Stranger Things. Yeah, he was the douchey older brother of the girl in season 2 of Stranger Things. He's got the molestache, the little peach fuzz on his lip, and the mullet. Yeah, and he played a good bad guy on that. I don't know if I could see him playing Bruce Wayne or Batman, though. At least not from this picture of him on on this article. If I was to go look at a different photo of him, maybe with short hair, let me do a search for him on the Google's image search. Okay, well, you know what? I could see him playing Nightwing. He has, he looks like he could be, well, maybe this photo here, he could probably pull off doing a younger Batman, if that's what they're trying to do. If they want him to be in his 20s, you know, early 30s even. I don't know, probably not. Let's see. I'm going to say Mr. Montgomery because I'm not going to try to butcher this guy's name again. Mr. Montgomery burst into the scene with his leading role in the recent Power Rangers movie, which wasn't exactly a hit amongst critics and fans. However, despite the film's shortcomings, Montgomery did an admirable job leading the fairly talented young cast. It was the role after Power Rangers that got Montgomery on this list, though. I'm talking about, of course, Billy Hargrove in Stranger Things. Yes, Billy is an awful person and acts as an antagonist to the heroes of Stranger Things. But look a little more closely at the layers beneath the character. He's a guy with a million secrets, and Montgomery was always able to capture that with the utmost sincerity. Okay, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I still think not going with Ben Affleck is a bad idea. I liked his Batman. I liked his Bruce Wayne. I enjoyed those movies. Whatever, I guess. Moving on. The next one on the list is Tyler Hoechlin. You know, he's the guy who plays Clark Kent in Superman on Supergirl. I could totally see him playing a younger version of Bruce Wayne. Although he's already played Superman, so maybe. I mean, there's been a couple times where Superman put on the bat cowl. I know for a fact he did it on the Justice League cartoon. And beat the ever-living snot out of Bane. Yeah. Nice callback, right? All right. So this is what it says here about Tyler. This one might cause a little bit of an issue amongst the DC TV fans, seeing how Tyler Hoechlin is Superman on the CW's Arrowverse. However, he hasn't shown up in that universe in a couple of years, so he can't just slide... So can't he just slide over to the big screen and take over as Batman? Yeah, possibly, maybe. I think that Warner Brothers might have more of an issue than the fans. I think just because they don't want to confuse the people watching the movies and the shows. Why is he Batman over here, but he's Superman over here? And you know he made an appearance at the beginning of season 2 on Supergirl. He was on 2 episodes, and he did not come back as Superman until this last season, the beginning of this current season. And he was in the crossover. Well, yeah, which is the beginning of this current season. So yeah, it was in the Elseworlds crossover. Okay, and then we have number 5 on this list. There's only 11 of them, by the way. There's not a lot. So number 5 on the list is Ryan Guzman. Ryan Guzman may be one of the least recognizable names on this list, but that might actually work in his favor. Despite his classic good looks, this guy could stand out amongst all the other actors who have portrayed Bruce Wayne over the years. Like I said, a lot of these guys that they're picking up to play Batman, I could see them play Dick Grayson, Nightwing more, because I don't know. I just don't. These guys look way too young to play Batman for me. In addition to his turn in Heroes Reborn, Guzman is most well known for his turn as Tyler Hoechlin's best friend, right hand man in Roper, as his best friend and right hand man Roper in Richard Linklater's Everybody Wants Some, while just above every actor in that ensemble could make their case for a shot at Batman, it's Hoechlin and Guzman that would emerge as the strongest candidates. You know what? He probably could do Batman, honestly. All right, number six on the list. Now, if we're going to, I don't know. You know what? I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I think it's the character has been around long enough that at some point we're going to have Bruce Wayne either change nationalities in some way or form or skin tone, whatever. It's going to happen. They're going to change it up. But this next person on the list is actually a really, really good actor, and I like him in everything he's done so far. I have yet to see a couple of the movies that he's really known for just because of the content of those movies. I don't know. I'll just say the person who it is. It's Michael B. Jordan. I haven't seen Creed or Creed 2. I want to. They haven't been enough of a draw for me to want to see them. So at this point, I'm going to end up watching them on Netflix if I ever see them. But yeah, I could totally see him doing a version of Batman. In fact, if I remember correctly, there is a version of Batman that is black. Not like Batwing, who's the son of the guy who makes all Batman's tech, and I can't think of the character's name. But anyways, there is a version of Batman that is a African American dude, and that was the Batman that Stan Lee created. There is a whole series of DC Universe characters that were briefly, like, as kind of a one-off, I think, or maybe a short series of each, but Stan Lee redid Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, The Flash. Redid their story. Changed them up entirely. I don't know. I think this could be a wonderful opportunity to reinvent Batman. And Michael B. Jordan's a good actor. I don't see any issue with him playing Batman, even if it is Bruce Wayne. If they change his origins a little bit, it's an alternate universe. It's an Elseworlds. You know, they're not permanently changing Bruce Wayne into a black dude. Even if they did, it's okay. Batman's been around for 75 years. It was something that was going to happen eventually. It's not a bad thing. All right, so the next one on the list is Ben Barnes. Let's see here. I could see him playing the part. He has that classic kind of Bruce Wayne look in this photo. See here. Apparently he's been on The Punisher and Westworld. I don't recognize him. I haven't watched enough Punisher, I guess. And I've never watched Westworld. Apparently this photo is from Westworld because he's wearing, like, Western-style clothes. All right. And number 8 on the list. And when I saw this guy, I was like, yeah, I could totally see him playing Bruce Wayne in Batman. Zach McGowan. And this guy says, I've long advocated for Zach McGowan to take over for Hugh Jackman as the next Wolverine, but I might like the idea of him as Batman a little better. You know, either one of those, Batman or Wolverine, my actual favorite comic for both characters is the crossover Dark Claw, which is Batman makes a mashup of Batman and Wolverine. Great comic. Let's see. And then number 9 on the list is Tom Harper. Hopper. Tom Hopper. I could kind of see him as Batman. Maybe. You might recognize this dude from Game of Thrones, Black Sails. I've not watched either an sufficient. I haven't watched Game of Thrones at all. Actually, no, take that back. I watched like the first 10 episodes, and I've never seen Black Sails. So this guy does not look familiar to me at all. But I can kind of see him as Batman. And then number 10 on this list is Jamie Dornan. Okay, this guy apparently was on the 50 Shades franchise. That's why I don't recognize this dude. I've never seen that movie and I was never really interested. number 11 on the list, the honorable mention, Mustafa Shakur. He says, okay, so I listed Mustafa Shakur as an honorable mention instead of putting him on the actual countdown strictly because he goes against the rules that I set. He's too old to play the version of Batman we're talking about here. That said, I can't seem to shake the idea of this guy taking on Bruce Wayne. He's quickly becoming my favorite candidate, giving even Armie Hammer a run for his money. I could see him playing Bruce Wayne. I don't know what this guy is known for doing. Let's see here. He was in Luke Cage season 2. Okay. It's an African American actor. Let's see. Shakur has the perfect build for Batman. For starters, he's incredibly built, but also fairly lean. And he has a fantastic jawline that would look awesome underneath the cowl. The dude also looks impeccable in a suit, as we all notice in Luke Cage season 2. More than that, he looks tough. Mustafa Shakur is one hell of an actor, and he could find that balance of vigilante justice and with the greatest of ease. I know he's too old for this take on Bruce Wayne, but what if the reports about Reeves' script are somehow inaccurate? If this Batman isn't super young, Shakur is undoubtedly my choice for the Caped Crusader. All right, well, you know, they're all good choices, I think. If I was to pick one of these guys, I think it would be Tyler Hoechlin. Hoechlin. That's how you say his last name. He's already in the DC universe. Why not give him another cape to wear? Although Michael B. Jordan would be a good choice too, I think. But, you know. Anyways, if you want to see these photos of these people, is to see why this guy chose these 10 actors, plus the honorable mention. Let's see. It's already here on Facebook. You can check it out. And also, anytime I post something to Facebook, it cross-posts to Twitter and the Two Whistles Geek website. You can click on these stories on any of those places. Thanks for listening. I know I kind of rambled a bit today, but it was one of those things. I wanted to record something. I had a couple things I wanted to talk about, and then I kind of expanded on that. And that's generally how I do the podcast. All of the episodes for the podcast are now available on the podcast host, which you can go to. You can go to twistgeek.com, and there's a series of little icons there. It's the red icon in the middle. Click on that. That's the host. That's where all the podcast episodes are sitting there. You can listen to them straight on the website, or you can go through your favorite podcasting app. The podcast is also now available on Spotify. So if you like Spotify for music and stuff, you can now listen to podcasts on there as well. So look for me on Spotify and start listening there as well. Until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.